Must have been about what? It was 2001, maybe, it came out, this game.
Yeah, 2001, yeah.
Yeah, so I wasn't that old. I was still quite young. I was still quite an impressionable young teenager, you know. My eyes were just opening to this crazy world. And I feel like Adam painting a picture now, you know. You know.
Yeah, but yours is just covered in shit. Dirty underpants.
It sucks.
Please stop painting this picture, Glenn.
Hey, guys, girls, gamers, nerds alike, and those who found the show by mistake. Welcome to From Dusty Couches to Broken Discs. I'm your host, Glenn, and along with my co-host, Big Dave.
Yo!
And our missing co-host, Adam. He's still missing. Fatherhood clearly has not agreed with him. This week, we're going to take a stab at Project Zero, or as some of you know it, Fatal Frame. But before we do get into this week's episode, let's plug in that controller, spin that disc, and let's roll those intro credits. So yes, once again, Adam is not with us. Again, he's taking a bit of a break from doing this just while he gets into the role of being a dad. David,
have you seen how happy we both are?
We're just happy. Nice glow. We have got nice glows about it. And it's not just the sweat from one of the hottest days of the year. We are genuinely happy.
Mate, I am dripping in joy right now.
We've done two games in a row now where both of us have played it, right? This is so rare.
And nobody's complained.
And nobody's complained. I've not read the comments from any of the other episodes.
Yeah, no,
so whether the viewers have complained that Adam's not here, I don't know. And frankly, I don't care. Have you got any fatherly advice for Adam at all, Dave?
Run.
I'm sure
he's going to do a great job.
I mean, we've seen the pictures and we do hope he will be on the next episode, fingers crossed. If not, me and Dave can keep it going for a little while longer. But yes, this week we are looking at Project Zero, and as I said, some of you may know it as Fatal Frame. I believe in Japan it was called Zero.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
We'll get into the whole game situation when we start the actual episode. So let's look at the collection of games. There's quite a few of them. Dave, sort of fond memories of any of them in particular?
I mean, most of my memories are tied into number one and number three. I never actually played number two, the Crimson Butterfly.
Crimson
one,
Butterfly,
with
yeah.
With the twins. Never played that one.
Shocker! David had twins! I mean, come on!
But no, realistically, my favourite game of the trilogy was number three. That, yeah. I just found with that one, you were jumping in and out of the dream world, and you had that whole, the main girl in it, Ray, she was being attacked like at home as well. So you never actually quite felt safe, even in your own house. I mean, you obviously you I don't know. Like you're going.
We're talking about Project Zero, or Adam's life at the moment.
No, but realistically, it was just that whole thing. You weren't like in a mansion like in the original
in the first
game.
One,
obviously, you did go to the mansion in the dream world, but she would always come back to her house. Wake up from the dream, and things like that. So I just found that game so much more interesting.
I never got to the third game, and I'm kind of kicking myself because it looked. Is that the one where in the trailer you're in the car crash, or is
Yeah. So
it's the third one. It starts off with a car crash.
Boyfriend
crash,
dies. Yeah, boyfriend dies in the car crash.
And aren't you in the woods?
No,
is that the second one where you're in the woods?
That's the second one. I think it's the second one when you're in the woods. But again, I've not really played that one, but I know you are in the woodland setting in that one.
Yeah.
Again, it's in the third one. It's the girl from the first game.
Yeah.
She's like your partner in it. So she, the main girl, Ray, she's a photographer. And yeah. Miku from the first game, the original protagonist, is like your helper. So she's like a junior
photographer. So she took a massive step down from the first game.
Well, yeah.
To be a side character.
pretty much, yeah.
That was the thing. That first game was very different to what I was expecting. Now, all my memories are on that first game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just... I'm not going to lie, and I'm going to say this out now. I shit my pants playing this game. And I mean physically shit my pants. I lived in a haunted house at the time of playing this game. Now, some people may not believe in ghosts, but that's for... I'm going to do another shameless plug here, Dave. You can expect to hear all about ghost stories on a new podcast coming soon, later in the year, where we do Dreamers or Believers, a new podcast that's coming. Hosted by me and some other people. It's a God shameless thankful. Plug, man. Shameless
that,
plug.
That was disgusting. I'm ashamed.
I know.
Of you.
I'm ashamed of myself. But the thing that got me, and obviously we'll go into it when we get into the actual episode, is that first game when you get the case and you look at it, and it said, wherever you got it from, whether it's Fatal Frame or Project Zero, it said, based on a true story.
But it wasn't, though.
I know. But I got that. And I started to play it. And I think that's what scared me. And I actually slept with a camera at the side of the bed.
Yeah.
Now, I must have been about, what? It was 2001, maybe, came out
yeah,
this game?
Yeah, 2001, yeah.
Yeah, so I wasn't that old. I was still quite young. I was still quite an impressionable young teenager, you know. My eyes were just opening to this crazy world. And I feel like Adam painting a picture now, you know? You know?
Yeah, but yours is just covered in shit. Dirty underpants.
It sucks.
Please stop painting this picture, Glenn.
But it was this game, you know, it was something new. It sort of filled that place because, let's face it, at this time, video game-wise, Resident Evil didn't know where it was going. They'd been teasing 4 for years, and it still took them years to bring.
Well, it was 2004 when Code Veronica came out, wasn't it?
Exactly.
You know, Resident Evil. Yeah.
Silent Hill had just gone completely batshit crazy. You know, people were just losing interest in these horror survival games. Mm-hmm. You know, this gave you that horror survival, but took away your traditional type of combat. You know, in Resident Evil, we was able to shoot. Silent Hill, you was able to do some similar things as well.
Well, I think with that, I mean, this was... I mean, don't get me wrong, you know how much I love, like, Resident Evil
know,
and stuff
yeah.
like that. I am a big fan of survival horror games. With this, it was a lot more scarier because, you know, it was more claustrophobic. It was a lot more claustrophobic than the Resident Evil games. You didn't have a gun.
Yeah.
Obviously, you had the camera, so you could... You know, obviously, exercise the ghosts and things like that with the what was it, the camera obscura?
Yeah.
What
fucking use is a Canon camera? Here's a camera, mate. Go and take some pictures of ghosts.
Well, you could get the different film rolls as well, couldn't you? So obviously, you had like the. I don't know. They were just like, it was basically like having a pistol, a shotgun, and a fucking rocket launcher.
Yeah.
But they were actually films. So, yeah. So you had just the weakest one and then up to the strongest. But yeah, with these games, I mean, they were so claustrophobic. And obviously, you're taking pictures of the ghosts, but they're coming straight at you. And there's literally nowhere you can go. So it was genuinely scary. It was a lot scarier than Resident Evil really had ever been.
It did have a lot of the fear. And the great thing about this is, like you say, because it was claustrophobic, those camera angles as well were absolutely... And the movement of your character, like you say, is it Miku in the first one?
Miku in the first
one. That her movement, she was so timid and gentle with her movement that you genuinely felt afraid.
Yeah, yeah.
She walked in that house like you would be doing, like you would basically about to shit yourself in some cases. I did, you know.
You ruined it for me, Glenn.
But those camera angles, they were really good, the way that it was, you know, set. Even the setting of the mansion was really good, and the story that you had for the backstory of this mansion as well seemed, mm-hmm. you know, and when you're reading the case, and at the time you believed it was based on a true story, you mm-hmm. were like, I want to go here because this seems so cool. Yeah, and then you go into a room and you're going down a hallway and this ghost comes out of nowhere, starts chasing you down the hallway, and that's when you sort of accept death. That's when you were like, yep, this is how I die. I mean, for you, what sort of stood out to you about any of the games?
I mean, with them all, it was all this, you know, I'm really into like Japanese horror stories and things like that, and folklore and like, you know, the yokai stories and things like that. And so, I mean, for me, this game was really exciting because all the games before that and horror games before that really had been set in like the USA.
Yeah.
So obviously, like Resident Evil was always set in the USA, Silent Hill pretty much USA.
Yeah.
This was one of the first ones on PS2 anyway that was set in traditional Japan.
It was nice to get a different setting, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah, yeah. I mean, it was really exciting at the time when I first heard about the game, so I was all for it. Like you say, the character designs, I liked the character designs. The voice acting wasn't great. It was just like really cringy, the voice acting, like that really. It's like they made it really slow to try and make it scarier, but it was just like, I think I'm going to go over to that cupboard.
I mean, do you remember last week's episode where we talked about Final Fantasy and you got a full laugh?
Oh, yeah, yeah, well. But at least they had some enthusiasm in the voices. This one was just so, like, slow and miserable.
Put Tidus up against one of those girls doing the laugh.
But, like you say, for me, it was a lot of it was looking into the backstory of it. You get the little tapes, wouldn't you? The little cassette tapes, and then you could find out about the previous people that had been into the mansion and like who had, I don't know, owned the mansion or whatever. And they were you could piece together bits of the story. Yeah, yeah. I mean, you didn't have to do it. It was just like more of a side quest, really. I mean, obviously, it went away from the main plot of the game, but it was just nice little things you could pick up and like Easter eggs along the way, and you could you could take pictures of, you know, like the secret ghosts and stuff like that. You would see, like, the man in the ceiling, the girl in the, I don't know, the gutter or whatever. There was always, like,
wasn't there one in, like, the room that was full of candles? There was one there, wasn't
there? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd have them just, like, stood there, like, floating, doing nothing. And
yeah, and all the little shrine maidens and stuff like that would just, like, randomly appear. And I don't know. I just the game itself was just, I just really enjoyed it. It was so good.
I mean, looking at it now, like I say, I'm not going to lie as well. I never completed the game. I've played the other ones. I dabbled them. I never played 3, but I did play 2. 4, unfortunately, was never saw like a Western release. And then there was the Maiden of Water, which I believe was the Wii U one. Or the Wii. It was one of the Nintendo consoles and has now recently been ported to PS5. And I'm not going to lie, I keep looking at it and I keep going, do I buy it? Do I play it? I've heard bad things. But at the same time, you know, it's interesting. It takes all that, like you say, the Japanese folklore of ghosts and all these weird things and haunted mansions. And I believe that one's based in, that one's actually in a similar sort of area. Now, I know you know the actual name of it, I can't remember, and I don't want to offend by the way I say this, but the what's known as Suicide Forest.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember?
What's the fucking... I knew the name of it. I've slept since then.
Well, they've obviously said it in a fictional version of that place. Now, obviously, I've not meant to offend by saying the name of the forest. We will put it in the link below so you can actually know what the forest is called, its official name. But obviously,
I'm just going to quickly chat. Yeah. I'll do an Adam in memory
of
Adam.
Do it. Should we just ring Adam now and just go, mate, can you just jump on, do some quick research for us, and then just jump off? go and do whatever you're doing. I'll keep talking till you find what you're looking for, Dave. But it's based, obviously, in the fictional version of this forest.
Akihabara? Akihabara?
Yeah, yeah, like something like that. And obviously, the directors behind the game said that they feel that when you're at home or in the desert or something like, you know, somewhere warm, you don't feel like there's a presence or anything like that. And this made me think when I was listening to this, you don't feel like there's a presence around you. So if you were somewhere warm, somewhere, you know, cozy and comfortable, you wouldn't feel like there's a presence there. But when there's water or moisture in the air, it's like you can sense something. Have you noticed that all these horror places seem to be dark and damp and dingy?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you feel like, I think it's like a psychological thing as well, as it gets into your head that this place doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. There's going to be something there. Whereas you look at a normal house and you don't think, oh, there's going to be a ghost in there. You just go in as you would. But you start looking at a dodgy, like, abandoned mill.
A warehouse and stuff like that.
Your mind immediately jumps to, oh, fuck, there's something in there. You know, the sort of thing. And I think that's what they've played on with these games. Like you say, the first one was The Mansion, which had the family in it, which were all killed, and no one knew what happened. It was an unexplained sort of thing. And people that had gone missing had been found with rope marks around the neck as if they'd been hung. And obviously, these led to some of where it said based on a true story, because they were interpreted from folklores. That's where the miscommunication come from. It's also the same with the name. Now, the obviously the release time and the changing of things, we see this happen a lot in Japanese games when they're released, when they get their Western release. Obviously, you'll have your North American team that are going to develop it. So it was called Zero in Japan.
Yeah, and their actual team was called Project Zero.
Their actual team was called Project Zero.
Yeah.
And when it got bit, there's a bit of miscommunication. That's how us in
we got the name from Project
Europe,
Zero, wasn't it?
We got Project Zero. And in North America, it was Fatal Frame. And it's kept the name Fatal Frame. It's much like Resident Evil is called Biohazard.
Yeah, true,
In Japan, and over here, it's Resident Evil.
It's same with the box art, though. I mean, we actually got the good box art, whereas if you look at Fatal Frame and the box art for, like, what
America isn't it just like half like a dead person?
There's a dead man. Like, it's just like, what is this shit?
We get Miku on this nice background.
Yeah, our background was really good.
that typeface was really nice as well for Project Zero, and the glow behind it looks amazing. You know, I think that looked really nice.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, I did enjoy the game. And I have wanted to go back to it. Actually, you know, one of those ones, I'm a bit older now, face my fears, go through it, play it. My bedroom now, the toilet is only there, so it's not too far away. I'm going to play it with the lights on, I'm not going to lie.
Just make sure you're wearing your big napper and you're fine, aren't you?
I would say I'd play, you know, there's a few games that my girlfriend keeps saying that she wants to play. And I keep going, well, we'll sit down, we'll play them, I'll let you play it because it would be nice to watch, you know, being on the other side. I can take notes if it's going to be an episode we're going to do. But she's like, I don't do horror stuff. Great, well, I wanted to replay The Last of Us, Last of Us 2. And, you know, the Project Zero games. And she walks with me. So, great, thanks. I'm playing by me. Last of Us, I can play by myself. I'm fine with that. But Project Zero. I'm going to have to put the cat in my room with me.
With
a camera outside of me again. Just to be honest.
You're going off on a tangent a bit now, Glenn. Let's get back on track.
With these games, though, obviously, now, this is where this is. To say that it is still a horror survival game, they tried to put what I have on my fucking table here within the game. You know, they tried to give them sexy outfits, around in bikinis.
It was one of them, like, it's Tecmo, isn't it? So it's the people who made, like, Dead or Alive. So, I mean, the character, the designs do look very similar, like the facial features. They do look like the Dead or Alive type of characters. Obviously, not in the
yeah, where you could shake your controller. Yeah,
turn that bounce up to 99.
Yeah, they've had boob physics.
Not in this game. I mean, for myself, I mean, I did really like, you know, going back to the whole folklore and things like that. I mean, you had, did you know much about the, like, Kyrie and things like that? She was like the main antagonist in the first game.
A little bit, but not too much.
And so obviously you have the shrine mate. That was the premise of the story, really. Obviously, Miku's gone searching for her brother Mafuyu.
Yeah, yeah.
He's gone into what was it called, the Himuro Mansion,
Himuro
Mansion. Obviously, he'd gone in search of some kind of novelist friend or something. Yeah. He'd gone to research the mansion, and then he got spirited away himself. And then obviously then Miku goes in looking for her brother, and then, like you say, you've got the main antagonist, Kyrie, the ghost. She's just she was one of the shrine maidens who went through the ritual. Was it the blinding ritual? I think it's obviously you had one of those really gory.
Yeah.
I can't remember if she was the one of the maidens who had the blinding ritual, or whether it was. I think she was the one with the ropes. It was something to do with rope.
I remember one with a blindfold.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was the blinding ritual. Yeah. Where it was basically one of those Japanese masks with had like two spikes in it, and they slam it down on the face. And it's a lovely story.
We are not only are we giving you information about a game, but we're being educational as well. This is the very first time we've done something educational as well.
True. And then if I can remember correctly, like you say, it's been a long time since I played the game, but I think Kyrie was one of the maidens that had the rope, and I vaguely remember her being like put on a rack. It's kind of like a rack thing, you know, having a limb stretched and things like that. So it was pretty gory, really. But
I mean, these are the things, though. This came out around about the same time as we were getting all our Japanese horrors, like The Ring and stuff.
The
like
Ring
that.
And The Grudge,
you know,
and
The Grudge. Like, they were all rough around about the same time.
Yeah,
so it
true,
sort of
true.
Piqued everyone's interest. And I mean, I know it has like a really weird cult following, these games.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a massive game. It really isn't.
No.
For those select few that have played it, it is, you know, there is like a die-hard fan base for it.
It's very memorable. But, I mean, that was one of the things why I enjoyed the third game more, because you got to explore more things, really. Obviously, you still went back to the mansion.
Yeah.
But you got to explore her actual, you know, everyday life as well, you know, in a flat and things like that. And you go to different areas in the house. You go to like the living room, then you go into the attic, and then there'd be certain things like there'd be like a girl, you know, like from The Grudge, when The Grudge is in the attic.
Yeah.
There's like moments like that where you see like a woman like scurrying around the attic and stuff like that. I mean, you'd be having a crisis, Glenn. You'd fucking hate it. I love all that kind of stuff.
Don't get me wrong, right? Sort of like American horror and stuff like that, or what we're used to, is a lot of dog shit.
Yeah,
you know, none of it is scary.
You can't compare it. I'd completely agree. You can't compare it to Japanese horror. It's so much
Japanese horror, they know how to get you. And I mean, this game not only had those jump scares, you know, it relied on like a really good story.
Yeah.
You know, all the games have had a good story. Now, unfortunately, as we said, we never got that fourth game. Mm-hmm. You know, it never saw a Western release. I know there were modders who have modded it and released it, you know, but it's still not the same, is it, as getting hold of the actual game? I mean, I don't know much about the story of the fourth one.
I don't really. I only know really about, like, realistically, the first and the third game. The fourth and the fifth. And, well, like you say, I don't know much about the second one either, really. But
it's a shame, because I think these games, I mean, if they were to be remastered now or re-released, especially those original ones, I know the newest one has. Mm-hmm. And like I say, this is the research that I've done into this, I've really thought, you know what, I really want to play it. I really want to get it, give it a shot, and actually see what it's like. It would be nice to sort of see them like remaster the first three and actually give us that release for the fourth
out here
in the West, you know, compared to Japan. You know, I think it'd be really nice to see. Mm-hmm. And in regards to the game as well, I mean, I was looking in regards to the development team who made this game. You know, the director, he went to all these like supposed haunted locations, said that he felt presences. You know, there was one time he was on these cliffs and he was looking, and somewhere had etched in a phrase. Now, for the life of me, I can't remember what it said, but it was something about "Here stands death," something like that. And it had been etched into the mountain, and he said he could feel like someone was trying to push him off the edge of the cliff.
Yeah.
You know, these are all these things. He said the team was so freaked out that they offered to get blessed after they made the game to sort of relieve anybody of any evil spirits that they may have, you know, that may have attached to them while they were making this game, because they were going to these locations to get ideas. I mean, that in itself, I mean, the Japanese take this very seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it's amazing that some of these stories that they tell, I mean, even us as anime fans, we see it as well in the animes that we watch. They all run off a lot of folklore, you know, and a lot of ghost stories. And, you know, it's fascinating me, don't get me wrong. And yeah, I'm not going to say that every one of them scares me. The game only scares me because they know what they're doing, the guys that are
made.
Know how to, like you say, the tight angles, the claustrophobic, you know, the tight spaces, so you're claustrophobic, you know, not having any weapons, not being able to run away.
That is definitely one of the main things, really. Yeah, exactly. That is one of the main things for the fear, really. Like you say, the claustrophobia and stuff like that. I mean, when you're stuck, especially in the third game as well, really, because there's a lot of like moments when you've got to go through like air vents and stuff like that, like, you know, under the ground. And like you've got that like crawling girl coming at you and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm not sleeping tonight.
And I mean, realistically, what was your take on the actual designs of the ghosts? I mean, I love the artwork for these games. I mean, they genuinely look shit scarier. You know, like the ghost.
Like you say, one of the ones that always stood out to me, especially in the first game, is going down that hallway and having that one running at you.
Yeah.
It's like right at the start of the game. It is right, and it honestly, because the music just goes quiet as you open the door. It's just silent, and then it goes. You have to run because you're like. Oh fuck!
that was another thing, wasn't it? Though, like the like setting the atmosphere and like you say the music, and they had that thing with this one with the controller. Remember, it used to vibrate when there was a ghost nearby.
Yes.
You know, you knew there was something there, and you get like the little judder, but you like you couldn't see it. You couldn't see where the fuck it is. I know something's here.
You get the camera and it's there. It's in your
face.
Yeah,
they're straight in your face.
And that's the thing that gets you. Because it does that music and it builds the suspense.
It really does.
It did feel more like you were living it and you were in more of a film than you were a game.
I just thought that was so clever the way they did that. It really did work to build that tension. And but like you say, with the third game, it did it better. And with the ghosts as well, obviously in the first game, all they really did was just come towards you. Whereas in the third game, the ghosts were, like, obviously the AI was, you know, more advanced, so the ghosts actually moved, you know, so you couldn't obviously aim the camera and keep it there, so they would actually move out of the way and go through the walls and stuff.
I'm not going to lie, Dave, it looked like someone was pulling you around, and I lied to them. Hey! It's not Snowflake!
Tune into the video.
I know, yeah. For those that are listening, I'm so sorry, but that might have to be the clip. It's just Dave going, dragged around the room.
like you say again, just to build that suspense, you know, even more. Like it's like they would walk through the walls and stuff like that, and then you wouldn't know because it was so tight knit.
Yeah,
you know, and claustrophobic. They would just appear right in front of you again, and it, you know, they were just really clever games, really.
I think the Japanese setting really works as well, because we know from what we've seen as well is that the Japanese dwellings and homes and things like that, they are really small. You know, they try and compact as much as they can into such a small space.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just watching about how they try and maneuver down like some hallways in their own home is absolutely ridiculous. Because if I went through, I'm not gonna lie, I'm a big guy, you know, like that. Can you imagine me? I'd be done straight away.
And he's dead.
You'd be like, throw the fat man, fuck in, we're off. Save yourselves.
Yeah, you wouldn't be going through one of those vents that's in the third game.
If one of those ones, right, we're going to crawl through here. No, you can crawl through. I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to accept fate. I'd turn around and you'd be like the scene in Pokemon, you know, where he takes on all the Spearows at the very first episode. I'd just, come on then, take me. They wouldn't want me though. They'd go around me and still come for you lot in the kit. I'd be like, oh, it's like, I'll see you later.
Oh God.
How to survive a horror film, be the fat man. I mean, is there much else you can think of that you want to say about any of the Project Zeros?
Not really. Again, I mean, I would love to know, you know, more about, like you say, the second game and stuff like that. I mean, I would like to go back to them all, really, and play them all.
They were such good games. I would, yeah. I'm personally the same. I'd love to go back through, actually play them, get to the end of them, you know, see the conclusions of them. I mean, I've read the conclusions, I've read how it happens, but it's different reading about it to actually experiencing it for yourself.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'd like to do.
Because I did see in the, I don't know if it is the fourth or the fifth game. Like I said, I don't know really much about them, but I think you play as Miku's daughter.
Right.
In one of them. Like you said, it might be the fifth game actually. I just like that it always revolves around Miku in some way, you know, like, and her family and obviously Mifuyu and stuff like that. It always revolves around them in some point. Yeah. So like you say, I do need to look into these games really, like the fifth game and that, and the second one, and just find out a bit more about them.
I mean, if anyone works for the developer and wants to remaster these games and launch them, me and Dave will be very happy to replay them for you. Test them out. Make sure they're all okay. You know, it's fine. Just send us the game for free.
I'd love them to remaster these games, to be honest. That'd be sick.
Yeah, it would be. And once again, for those people that have tuned in expecting a quiz, sorry, guys. No quiz this week. We all know how much you love the quiz. I think we're the only ones actually like the quiz, and half the time we don't even like it, you know. So I am just getting my... So obviously, as you are fully aware, every week I ask you guys your memories of the game. Got quite a few, you know, some good ones, some not so good ones. So Dave, if you've got nothing left to say, should we move on to...
Yeah, go on.
We'll move on to the fan memories. So I'm going to start off with Jason on Facebook, who's put, I genuinely believed that this game, this was about the first game, was based on a true story. Piqued my interest, went to Japan based on the game. The stories of the ghosts in Japan are so much better than our lame US stories. We said that, ourselves. We completely agree. I've got Alfie on Facebook who's put one of the best horror games or the best. Anyway, it was very scary, even if you play it in daylight. I tried to play it once with headphones and I almost shit myself. I actually did, so
I'm sensing a theme here.
Yes.
Everyone's shitting.
We've got a friend of ours, Nick, who has commented on Facebook as well, and he's put, next to Silent Hill, I think this could be considered as one of the defining moments in horror gaming history, as being one of the first games based on psychological horror rather than jump scares like its predecessors, Resident Evil. The fact that the developers delved deep into popular Japanese horror culture that surrounded them in the 90s resulted in such a globally acclaimed and downright epic horror game for the ages. Chanel, Nick.
Come on, Nick. What's he been smoking?
He's never said anything that elegant in his life.
Ever.
It's okay, folks. He's a friend of ours. We can say this.
Stolen from Wikipedia.
It probably was. Either that or someone else has typed it up for him. I've got Stephen on Twitter who's put, I don't like this game. It gives me the creeps, especially the T in the title for the rating of the game. So obviously in the US, you get like T for teen and things like that.
Oh, right, okay.
In their rating, it's not like ours where we get like the 12, 15 and things like that. It's a bit different for the game ratings. People, do not play this game. It's sinister. This game will cause evil spirits in your homes. You have been warned. Stephen, I think you took this game a little bit too personally. Does he live in the mansion from the game? And I've also got Emily on Twitter who's put, I played the second one before this because this one really, I found this one really hard to find. The ending, just like the ending of this game made me mad because of the dumb choices the character's brother made. All in all, I did enjoy it.
That is, actually, I completely agree with that. The ending was so stupid. It's just like, you know, like, he's been lost this whole time. And then, obviously, you've got Kirie, the, you know, the main antagonist. Because, basically, Mifuyu looks like her old boyfriend from, like, years ago.
Yeah.
Basically, he just goes, oh, yeah, to make the ghost happy, I'll just kind of, like, stay here with her and, like, sacrifice myself. I was like, why? Just fucking leave. Just leave her to it. Just walk out the door and leave. He's like, no, I'm going to...
Mate, the door's there. Like, it's there. We could... I literally, I've got my hand on the handle. Let's just go.
You're like, your little sister's gone through all this shit and then you just go, yeah, you know what? I think I'll stay.
Does my torment mean nothing to you?
Pretty much. We've been through all of this and you just decide to stay, you knob. So all of this, like, summing up this whole game, if you use a dick.
We'd like to sum games up at the end. That could be the new feature. Dave sums the game up in one word.
Pretty much. Well, I did it with Skyrim. But I'm pretty sure I did it with Final Fantasy as well.
Oh, God. It's weird that we've not had Adam, like, just go, yeah, it was a lot of shit. Or for him to turn around and go, yeah, I've never played it.
Well, yeah, they'll just confuse it with Dino Crisis.
Just because they're both Japanese games, Adam, doesn't mean that they're the same.
It was a ghost dinosaur.
It was a ghost dinosaur. For fuck's sake. This is why we can't have nice things when Adam's on.
No.
But on that note, we will leave it there this week. Like I say, thank you very much for tuning in. And remember to leave a comment, subscribe, like all the posts. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, you know, we're everywhere. We're absolutely everywhere. And we even have an email. Yes, that email address is down there at the bottom of the screen. That's dusty2broken@gmail.com, and that's the number 2. Remember to send us any memories of any games you've played. Even if we've not done that game yet, it's probably going to be on the list of games we're going to play. And obviously, we can put those memories on the episode and give you a shout out on the show. Apart from that, I think that's a great place to end this week.
We will eventually be doing Toy Story 2 when Adam comes back.
Yes, so get your memories to us for the Toy Story 2 game on PlayStation. I mean, it was a great game. And when Adam does return, that is going to be the first game that we are going to do when we're back. And hopefully when Adam does return, we're going to start looking at actually playing some games for you, if that's what you're interested in. But you've got to let us know. Otherwise, we're just going to keep doing it until you tell us to stop. I don't have a job. I've got nowhere else to be.
All the messages now are just like, please just end it. God's sake.
Like Captain America, I can do this all day. But on that note, we will leave it there this week. I've been your host, Glenn. He's been my co-host, Big Dave. See you next time on the next episode of From Dusty Couches to Broken Desks.
Later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I'm going to sleep with a camera at the side of my bed tonight, just to be on the safe side. That comment about bringing in evil spirits into my home has freaked me out a little bit. It's like, oh, God. I know my housemate will fucking love it, you know.
Like, Glenn, why are you taking nudes at 1 o'clock in the morning? Are like, oh, you?
I'd go downstairs and be with a ghost in the kitchen, like, dude, fucking party boy, you know. Okay. Dave whips off his pants, just sort of.
Yeah, no, yeah. It won't actually.